Yeah, Lord, I thank you for Dave. We all thank you for Dave. We really thank you for Dave. And I just pray for him this morning that the word he brings, I know, is from your heart for us, because that's what he's done all the time. He's been leading us. He's brought your word from his heart, from your heart. And he's walked with you, and he's held close to you, and he's been a real example for us of how to walk a life that is full of Jesus, full of you, Lord. So pray your blessing on you, Dave, this morning. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. If this is your first time here, you won't know that basically for the last 6 years I've been the leader, and this is my last Sunday as the leader. Some of you are thinking, yes, it's about time. Thanks so much for putting up with me. It's been an absolute honour. It's been such a joy. It's been such a privilege to kind of be at the helm, leading the various teams that have been the leadership team over the last 6 years. It's such an amazing group of people who are doing phenomenal things. Who I learn from all the time. So I've considered it, just genuinely just such a privilege to do it. So thank you, guys. When I took over, it was 6 years ago. Some people said it was five, but it's not. 6 years ago. Because I remember I did the London Marathon 2012, and then the week after I took over the leadership. And I was basically a super hungry for God 26-year-old at the time. And I guess that was recognised. I was just up for stuff. I was just up for things of the Spirit. I did this like 1 month fast. Whatever was going on, I'd just be up for it. I was just so, so hungry for God. Completely untrained, completely unqualified. You guys like took a risk on me. And that's an amazing thing. I personally, when I took on the leadership, soon began to realise that I was just way out of my depth. in our weakness, God is strong, and His great grace is sufficient for us. It was a time when I think some of us were coming through trauma. I personally was kind of working through this trauma every. I was going after things of the Spirit big time, and I kind of had some kind of role models. So there was this ministry called Emerge Wales, who Nigel and Jean were connected into, and I was really, kind of following them, and me and Chloe supported their ministry financially. And there's this guy Jason Westerfield who was on the Finger of God films, who was connected with them as well. And I used to support them financially, and I used to go to their events and listen to their podcasts and listen to their teachings. And basically their ministry is just relationships broke down. Jason Westerfield just kind of went way off off the rails, and there's this announcement from Bethel Church, it's real sadness to us, but Jason's gone wacko basically. And then there was the really traumatic we almost had a church split, and there was a leadership transition from Kristen and Judith over to Colin. And it was in that time for me, it was all the people that I was looking up to, all the role models that I saw some of the really significant players in my life were suddenly just what's that about? That was so I'm entering into this role in trauma. I think a load of us were kind of going through some kind of trauma at the same time. But you know what? God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And a lesson was learnt there that actually, people, we're just broken. people let us down. People, we're all just broken together. Leaders, they're just, everyone, we're just all humans, just trying to make it. And that was a lesson that I learned back then. We're all just flawed, and we're all just trying to follow Jesus. And let that be a lesson to us going forward. Actually, we're all broken together, and that's okay. We have broken pots, and God fills them with His glory anyway. Thought number one. So it's been a steep learning curve. Thank you for your patience. In our weakness, he is strong. I just want to say like a few thank yous. Firstly, special thank you goes to Sandra Bullen. Sandra, yeah. Sandra was my first ever line manager. Yeah. So 19 years old, I remember Sandra and... I was 19. Yeah. Sandra and Ali, I remember, took me and Miles to Starbucks and said, we're leading the youth. Do you guys want to be involved? And we're like, yeah, totally, that sounds great. And then basically Sandra became like my line manager, and I was like proper sketchy. And she was so great, she was so patient with me. We'd sit down each week and she'd have a little base notebook. She'd go, okay, Dave, so these are the things you need to do this week. And I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, that's cool. I'd take away my list. I don't know what I would do. Like, I was just in my gap year with the church. I don't know what I did in the week. just like doing some cleaning and stuff. And then I'd meet up with Sandra the week after. And on the way to the meeting, I'd go, oh no, I haven't done like things that Sandra asked me to do. And then I'd like kind of come up with these stories of all the things that I'd been doing in the week, like why I basically hadn't done my actions. And so you were very patient with me and you believed in me and you... yeah. Yeah. So. So yeah. Well done, Sandra. Yay! I also want to thank Al and Keith. You guys, so many people have inputted into me in so many different ways, but Al and Keith especially, you know, I feel like you guys have kind of like, you've been my wingmen, and you know, a lot of you probably won't know just like how much their friendship and input has meant to me. It's I'm trying to swallow. I'm like proper dehydrated in my mouth. Like, you guys basically have just like, you've been there for me. You've believed in me. You've, when things have got hard, you've, you've given me advice. You've given me, you've challenged me. You've given me wisdom. You've kept it fun. You guys have been amazing. So I just love you guys and honour you guys and just want to thank you. Colin's not here. I'm going to say some bad to him. Colin's has been amazing. I just really kind of want to publicly honour Colin. He has modelled to me grace, leadership with kindness, with humility, with gentleness. He is so he thinks things through really, 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 really deeply, really carefully. He never rushes into things. He never kind of just like says stuff which he doesn't mean. He models look, love, live like amazingly. He's just like phenomenal at it. He's been such an inspiration. Oh, thanks, Son. And I just like Colin. If you're listening to this, I thank you so much. I think Colin has been awesome, and there's been times when I've been at his house, especially like early on when I was just way out of my depth and overwhelmed. I had this like massive like hunger and passion for God, but there's this like huge disconnect between my abilities in leadership. So I was like super super keen, but like had no idea about like how to like manage conflict and like hold different theological and strong theological views to, like, together in tension, and just like there are so many like hard skills required in leadership, and I was just like so overwhelmed. And I remember just like being at Collins like maybe a year in, just going, this is so not how I thought it would be. I'm trying to do this stuff and I'm failing in some of these things I'm trying to like achieve. I just remember sobbing my eyes out at Colin's house, being like, I can't do this. And he'd be like, you can do this, Dave. This is about growing. It's about stretching. And so many times he's just been encouraging to me. And he's imparted wisdom like theologically in so many levels, but also like often just like prophetically. We'd be together. He'd go, I've got this word for you, Dave. And like, he'd say something which he felt like God was saying, and a strength would come into my spirit again and again and again. So I just want to thank Colin because he's been like amazing. Yeah. He's been amazing to work for. So, what's happened over the last 6 years? We've done two venue changes. I think we're well positioned now. Great Marlowe School with the youth centre, seeing this kind of as our parish. We've got the prayer room, we've got the stuff going on at the youth centre. I think this is a good place for us as a church. It feels really good. I personally was a fan of the URC days. I know it was a controversial time, but I loved it. I loved, like, me and Chloe were talking about it, and we were like, oh, we miss meeting at 4:30. You could go away, you could have like a relaxing weekend, just get up 4:30, go out to the pub afterwards. But oh well, we're here now. we've developed great relationships with the other churches. We're friends with all the churches. I just want to honour Pete Hopkinson in leading so faithfully, so brilliantly. He's represented us really well in the Churches Together meetings that you have at your house, and you host everyone at your house once a month. And you know, that's been a real joy to be part of. And people kind of say, "Oh, Dave, you know, you've been fantastic, and you know, being a force for unity in the town." And to be honest, it's been really easy. It's been a joy. I just kind of like hang out with people and go, "Hey, let's be friends," and it, we kind of draw together. But it's been a joy. It's a privilege to do that. we've now got new touch points with the community in place, which we didn't have. I mean, we had some historically, like we've had Wycombe, we've had River Life, and those things are absolutely fantastic. But I feel like we've got some new touch points now with the community, just regularly just meeting people and having possibility to impact their lives and connect to them and show Jesus to them. So those things are, we've got the youth clubs at the youth centre, we've got Messy Church, Johnny just talked about that, we've got Love Marlow, we've got our yearly touch point, which is the Santa's Fun Run, which I'm a huge fan of. Anyway. and we've got the healing rooms. So, you know, I honour and thank everyone who works really hard to deliver those things and to make it happen. And my prayer is that actually they, you know, strategically, that they do become gateways into our community. So I pray that God will use them for what they're originally intended. We've had some beautiful moments. I was thinking, you know, what's gone on? And for me, I just kind of was thinking around, what are the beautiful moments? For me, like the baptism services that we've had have always like just been beautiful moments, like times when just at the URC church, when just when Johnny, when you came along and Kathy, you were getting baptized, and that was kind of the start of your journey of faith. You know, just everyone around and just everyone going crazy. And the ones last year, where you know, Yusuf and Jacob, they got up and they said, "Oh, we, you know, this church has meant the world to us." And Ali then just jumped in your jeans, and Sandra and Pete. And Pete did the most hilarious baptismal thing ever, which I probably won't repeat right now. Like, you don't know it? I'm not sure I can say it. Okay, I'll say it. So basically, this is like why I think it's maybe good that we like... No, I don't think it's good, but this is why I think there is value in, like, you know, training people in the priesthood and guarding that maybe a little bit more closely. Because Pete gets up and he baptises Alison and just goes, "Alison, you're my wife, you're my best friend and my lover, and I baptise you." And that's it. And it's like, what? Great work.
There's a lot there for the Trinity, actually.
It's true. It's great. We've had people come to faith. Not as many as I would have hoped. And Paul, just amen to your word. May this next season be one of just lowering out our nets out again and really going for an evangelism and seeing more people's lives impacted by God. But some of us are in this room who have come to faith, and you know, I thank God for that. I think we've had some really cool Christmas services. All Saints, Matthew Jones solo. Smashed it. Paul and Amy, the day after you guys got married, you came along to church. And we like stuck love heart post-it notes all over you guys. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. That felt like family. And that was like, you know, that's a really like precious moment. For me, the second Love Marlow, a load of us went and did gardening for the elderly in connection with Age Concern. And one beautiful moment that a lot of you kind of won't know about is Suzanne Brown, who was the mayor at the time, who worked for Age, age concern, she came up to me and she said, "Dave, I just want to thank you for the gardening. I had this local resident, he was having a street party on his street, like the week of Love Marlowe, and he came up to me and he was in tears, and he just wanted to say, like, I just want to thank you for the guys, like, who were just serving, doing my gardening. I felt really ashamed because my garden was a mess and there's going to be all these people here. And, you know, these guys, they just came and they did my garden." And the guy was just, like, bawling it as he was thanking Suzanne. I was thinking, this is the church. This is great. This is, like, this is beautiful. We've bought toilets for a village in Africa. We've raised funds for people in the slums in India. We've seen miracles of healing. We've seen visions. We've seen people having dreams. You know, the weekend, just recently, the weekend away, you know, stuff's going on. God's breaking out. Miracles are happening. Beautiful moments. Moments to treasure.
Can I say thank you for the toilet? Because I used it the other weekend.
Did you? Fantastic. It's great. This group of people have, we've kind of been like a little pit stop of grace for some people. So there's been quite a few people who have just come and they've just journeyed with us for a season and then they've moved on. But actually they'll say that their journey with, like, their time with us has been tremendously healing, tremendously significant. They've learned loads. God's done loads in them, you know, like our friend Heidi, our dear friend Heidi, who's now back in Ireland. You know, she looks back at her time in Marlowe. It's so significant what God did in her. Just, she learned about grace. She learned about, you know, leadership. She learned about community, belonging, family. You know, so we've been a pit stop of grace for people as they've come and gone over the years, which I think, I hope that we continue to do that, hey? We've had sad moments. You know, we've had relational breakdowns. We've had people dying. We've had, you know, we've had loved ones, people who, you know, I've inputted into, you know, financially, emotionally, you know, just with your energy, just leave without saying goodbye. Just go. And it's like, you know, it's the emotional cost at times is worse than any of the other costs. You know, we've had heartfelt prayers for just desperate situation that we're kind of sending up to heaven, seemingly going unheard. It's painful at times. And we've had times where we just tried to do stuff. Like a few years ago, we tried to make a big deal of Alpha. You know, so we watched all, like, it's just one of, no, I won't say one of many. But like, I'm like, come on, we've got to see kind of people reach for Jesus. So it's a massive big deal about Alpha. We watched all the videos. We did this big advertising campaign. We've got a banner across the high street for the month of September. I was like on The Apprentice, like trying to get that banner sorted, like just whizzing around. And then it's like we put it on, we have it at Cooper's, it's like proper cool, we've got like the big screen and everything. And like, I don't know how many people show up. It's like, what was it, 5 people? 4 of whom are already Christians from other churches. It was just like, it's brutal at times. But you know what, this is church. You just try stuff. You can pick yourself up, like dust yourself off. And go again. You know, for me, this is like, it's part of being human. Like, we're broken. We're broken pots together. It's not all about the good times. It's about suffering together. About suffering with Christ. About pushing through hard times. For me, the journey is one of beauty. And it is also one of pain. But it really is about, you know, running the race. And Hebrews, I shared back in December after I did an epic race. I shared about running the race, and I kind of, this is, you know, one of the things I want to share today, is just Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter, pioneer of our faith. When we're in the Lake District, Paul Darias did this little talk And he talked about the running the race, and he shared about what had happened with Josh and just, you know, just his journey through life. And he talked about running the race and called us to run the race. And he said, actually, the race is not like a 100-meter sprint with Usain Bolt. It's more like a tough mudder. And that really kind of hit home for me. I thought, yeah, the race is like a tough mudder. Has anyone done tough mudder? I've done tough mudder. Paul's done it. I did it with Paul. It's like this amazing event. And for starters, it's a team event. You don't do it. You don't just go and run it by yourself. You're working as a team. And there are times where you've got to get up all these huge walls, and you're kind of like, you basically kind of lift one another over. And you've got these like ramps that you've got to try and run up, and you've got to like grab people who are trying to get up the ramp. It's a team event. It's not a solo event. The second thing about tough mudder is there are times when you're just like, you're just muddy. It's just tough. You're tired. It's a long race. And you're crawling. You might be kind of claustrophobic because you're crawling through this tunnel or whatever. And you're just like, it's dark. And it's like, oh, this is like really freaking me out. And then you get out and you've just got this face full of mud. It's like, it's not just like, at times, you know, it's tough. It's a tough mudder. Keith's doing it soon, aren't you? It's a great event. It's great fun. It's great fun. No, it's fine. Golf. And but there's so many. It's such a good vibe. People are cheering you on. People are cheering you on all around your course, and you're cheering each other on. And you know, I think you know, we are running a race, and we, that's what like church is about. We're to cheer one another on. I mean, it's not just like boom, we're done. It's like we're in this for the long haul. And sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's fantastic, and sometimes it's brutal and claustrophobic, and that's life. But let's run the race. And it's kind of like it's not a it's kind of like a relay race. It's not like you just do the race, like I'm just going to do the race and then go. It's kind of almost like a tough mudder relay race, and I feel like this moment, not right now, but there is a passing on of the baton in this tough mudder relay race. And it's not that I'm going to stop like running the race, but there is a passing on of the baton. And in a few weeks' time, I think there'll be a praying for you guys and the leadership. But I couldn't think of any better people to pass the baton on to. These guys are fantastic. You know, I just thank God for you guys. I thank God that, you know, God has, you know, he's stirred something fresh in you. You know, from the summer, last summer onwards, you got fresh inspiration, you got fresh heart, you got fresh ideas, you got fresh grace, you know, whatever it is. But God has done something in you, and you have said yes to that. And I thank God for that. I'm genuinely looking forward to you being my church leaders. And I just think you're amazing. I think you're intelligent. I think your theology and your ethos and your insights and your progressive thinking and your deep thinking, to me, is inspiring. Super inspiring. And I'm going to be sad not to be on a team with you, because you're just like, you're just awesome. Should we give them a clap? Another one. Okay, yeah. And, you know, I just want to also love and honour the existing Marlow team, because it's not just two people doing it. Actually, we believe in team. And John and Emma Gladwell, John's not here because he's a slacker. they are up there with some of the most caring people that I've ever met. Johnny, you know, your infectious joy and passion for Jesus and your purity of heart is just a joy to be around. You are like fresh air wherever you go, and I honour and love you. Andrew, you are just so inspiring and challenging in the way that you have consistently, you've modelled just radical generosity and a heart for the poor and a heart to like to just not live a normal mediocre materialistic life. You've wanted to go for Jesus, and you've given so much time just behind the scenes, just hour after hour after hour, just caring about our youth centre because you care about the community that could use it and that does use it. And I honour and thank you for that. Kerry Francis, if you're listening to this, Kerry has been a great friend to me. She has loved and served the church tirelessly and sometimes at the expense of her own self. You know, she just works so hard because she cares. And she smashes it. And she's been a joy to work with. She's been a laugh to work with. And there's been I'm an emotional person, and there's been a lot of times where I'll just meet up with Kerry, and she's like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm upset about this, or I'm really discouraged about this, or whatever. I think I can't do it, or blah blah blah." And she'll remind me again and again and again. She's like, "Dave, you're fantastic. You're a citizen of heaven." And she always reminds me, "You're a citizen of heaven." And she's fantastic about that. And God's graced her with that, and I think she's fantastic. And Chloe. Hey! You know, you're amazing. You know, you've paid a price, like, behind the scenes, like, for the last 6 years as well. And you are smart, and I love you, and I love your God-given passion for our beautiful creation and your heart for justice and to live in a world where there is where a world of diversity and a world of equality and a world that is equal. And I love that for that. And you're my best friend, and I'm also looking forward to you being my church leader as well. And I just want to say to you guys, the church, I just really ask you to wholeheartedly get behind this leadership team. You know, they're fantastic. And I just be their friends. Be like soft, be malleable, be up for stuff. Be, you know, pray for them, support them. Because you know what? Like, I don't know if you've ever been to like a rugby match or a football match. It's so easy to stand on the sidelines and just say, "Oh, they should have done that differently," or "They, you know, why didn't they do that?" And just criticize from afar, or just comment from afar, or, you know, that's the easiest thing to do. Actually, as soon as you get on the pitch and you step up and you play, it's a lot harder than it looks. And I honour them for stepping up and for going, you know what, we're gonna be on the pitch and we're gonna play, and let's just cheer them on, hey. Okay, thank yous round two. You know, it's not. I just want to thank the church. I want to thank, there's countless people in here to thank. Like, everyone has pulled their weight in a different way. Just, there's so many people who've just been involved in, like, communication or caring for people or, like, worshipping or praying or serving or making tea and coffee. You know, it's just thankless. You know, there's endless people I could thank, and it's not about one person. It's not even about a team, it's just about a church, and let's just keep being church together, let's just keep shining together, let's just all keep bringing our contribution, let's keep letting our little light shine. And I just want to thank you, I suppose, River Church, for, you know, for everybody doing, you know, their bit, and for just loving and supporting me along the way. I believe in River Church.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe we've got something to bring. I believe in our ethos and our values. I believe in our approach. I believe in where we're going. A significant time. We're in a time of transition, not just for Marlow, but for River Church. You know, but I believe in where we're going. I believe God's got good plans for us. I believe the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
For River Church. Yeah. Okay. Next take-home lesson. I'm not like the smartest guy, and I don't mean this to be like, "Oh, you know, don't beat yourself up in public, Dave." Like, I was talking with Al the other day, and he basically said, you know, you've basically got spiked intelligence. So you've got kind of areas where you're really strong. Hey?
He says this to me as well, he's really cheeky.
Spiked intelligence. I've basically got areas of spiked intelligence. So, and you know, there's some areas where I'm really strong, and I think for me, you know, that's probably around my ability to connect with people. It's probably my ability to innovate and get things going. It's probably around my, you know, maybe some communication abilities. It's around those, you know, some of those things. But in other areas, I'm like really, really bad, like embarrassingly so. And it's been something which I've really struggled with I've struggled with over the past 6 years. I think, you know, oh, a leader should be able to do this, or a leader should be able to do that, or a leader should be able to do that. And I felt like, you know, I just don't have almost like enough intelligence, even though how much like I try in some areas. And people can get frustrated with me about that. And you know, I've had to kind of come to peace, to a sense of to a place of peace around it, because you know what? God doesn't care about what we don't have. The boy with the loaves and the fish, he comes to Jesus. He doesn't go, well, I don't have like some like tomatoes and cucumbers, or I've only got six loaves or six fish. He gives him everything he's got and then watches what God does with it. Yeah. God doesn't care about what, you know, my weakness is. What he cares about is what I do with what I do have. And I encourage us all to think the same. I mean, let's not worry about, let's not care about the stuff which holds us back. Let's not care about like our weaknesses. We obviously try to be well-rounded people, but let's give God what we do have. Let's do our best with that, hey? And we all do that, and we all bring our loaves and fish. So, you know, I want to thank you, you know, I thank you again, you know, for your grace. I know that, like, I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes as humans. But when you make mistakes when you're, like, the leader, it has, like, more consequences. And, you know, so thank you for your grace when I've made mistakes. I know that I haven't got it all right. But I do, you know, think and feel that I can stand here and say, you know, I've done my best. You know, I've done my best to serve you guys. And it's been a joy. I've tried my hardest to lead with grace, to create a house of grace, to lead with, you know, kindness and humility. I've tried to be a human and demonstrate that, but I've also tried to be spirit-led. I've tried to have a laugh. I want to finish with this. When I was a kid, I, as a teenager, had some of the most kind of profound moments with God in the River Church prayer room at Jubilee Church in Maidenhead. And then there was another one at Nigel and Karen Rivers' house. And I just remember there was one night where we were kind of like having this like youth sleepover, and it was basically just like a romp. Like people had BB guns, people were like wrestling. Like the boys were like pranking the girls' toilets by putting like cling film like over the loo, and like just like, what's mad, like teenage stuff. I just remember like everyone was like just off somewhere, and I was just alone in the prayer room. I just had this like amazing time with God in the prayer room, and it's like I just started to kind of find God for myself. And I remember, you know, you'd go home, and around that time I would just like, I'd just be in my bedroom, I'd be like listening to Delirious. There was something about Delirious who kind of captured something that just caught my heart somehow. And and at that time, I read for the first time The Vision, which Pete Gregg wrote, which kind of sparked 24/7. And that really got a hold of me, and I had that, and I'd read that, and that captured me. And when I was a youth leader, I'd often get up, and I'd give it out to the youth. I'd be like, come on, this is it. And I'd read The Vision. We just kept tapping in to The Vision, and there's something about it which just, it still resonates. And I don't think it's about young people. It talks about young people, but I think it's about just a generation. It's about everyone who's alive today. And even if you're in your 80s, you're still young. You've potentially got billions of years to go. So, I'd love us just to watch this. And just because that's all, it's kind of my parting, I suppose this is my parting message as a leader. It's just like, if we're going to live for Jesus, just let's go for it, you know? Let's just be rad for God. So...
So this guy comes up to me and says, what's the vision? What's the big idea? I open my mouth and words come out like this. The vision. The vision is Jesus. Obsessively, dangerously, undeniably, Jesus, the vision is an army of young people. You see bones, I see an army. And they are free from materialism. They laugh at 9 to 5 little prisons. They could eat caviar on Monday and crust on Tuesday. They wouldn't even notice. They are mobile like the wind. They belong to the nations. They need no passport. People write their addresses in pencil and wonder at their strange existence. They are free, yet they are slaves of the hurting and dirty and dying. What's the vision? The vision is holiness that hurts the eyes. It makes children laugh and adults angry. It gave up the game of minimum integrity long ago to reach for the stars. It scorns the good and strains for the best. It is dangerously pure. Light flickers from every secret motive, every private conversation. It loves people away from their suicide leaps, their Satan games. This is an army that will lay down its life for the cause. 1,000,000 times a day, its soldiers choose to lose that they might one day win the great well done of faithful sons and daughters. Such heroes are as radical on Monday morning as Sunday night. They do not need fame from names. Instead, they grin quietly upwards and hear the crowds chant again and again, come on! And this is the sound of the underground, the whisper of history in the making. Foundations shaking, revolutionaries dreaming once again. Mystery is scheming in whispers. Conspiracy is breathing. This is the sound of the underground, and the army is disciplined. Young people who beat their bodies into submission. Every soldier would take a bullet for his comrade at arms. The tattoo on their back boasts, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Sacrifice fuels the fire of victory in their upward eyes. Winners, martyrs, who can stop them? Can hormones hold them back? Can failure succeed? Can fear scare them, or death kill them? And the generation prays like a dying man, with groans beyond talking, with warrior cries, sulfuric tears, and with great barrel loads of laughter, waiting, watching 24/7, 365. Whatever it takes, they will give, breaking the rules, shaking mediocrity from its cozy little hide, laying down their rights and their precious little wrongs, laughing at labels, fasting essentials. The advertisers cannot mold them, Hollywood cannot hold them. Peer pressure is powerless to shake their resolve at late night parties before cockerel cries. They are incredibly cool, dangerously attractive inside, and on the outside, they hardly care. They wear clothes like costumes to communicate and celebrate, but never to hide. Would they surrender their image or their popularity? They would lay down their very lives, swap seats with the man on death row, guilty as hell, a throne from an electric chair, with blood and sweat and many tears, with sleepless nights and fruitless days. They pray as if it all depends on God, and live as if it all depends on them. Their DNA chooses Jesus. He breathes out and they breathe in. Their subconscious sings. They had a blood transfusion with Jesus. Their words make demons scream in shopping centers. Don't you hear them coming? Herald the widows, summon the losers and the freaks. Here comes the frightened and the forgotten. With fire in their eyes, they walk tall and trees applaud. Skyscrapers bow, mountains are dwarfed by these children of another dimension. Their prayers summon the hounds of heaven and invoke the ancient dream of Eden. And this vision will be, it will come to pass. It will come easily, and it will come soon. How do I know? Because this is the longing of creation itself, the groaning of the spirit, the very dream of God. My tomorrow is his today, my distant hope is his 3D, and my feeble, whispered, faithless prayer invokes a thunderous, resounding, bone-shaking, great amen from countless angels, from heroes of the faith, from Christ himself. And he is the original dreamer, the ultimate winner, guaranteed.
So I basically watched that and I'm like, yes. You know, their DNA, what was the line? Their DNA chooses Jesus, the DNA. That's my Proverbs alarm. Sorry. I just told you to leave my phone at home. It's, you know, for me, it's about like, let's live for Jesus. Part of the story of Jesus throughout history, across the planet. And let's just give everything to trying to figure out what it means to live authentically, joyously, passionately, radically for Jesus. So, I don't know, if you want to join me in just saying yes to living with Jesus, I just want to just encourage you just to stand up just now and let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, I just... you know, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's not about me being the leader and me stopping being the leader. It's about all of us just trying to follow you and trying to serve you and trying to use our giftings and different roles and different ways and different positions at different times and seasons. But you're the author of it all. You're our source. You're our creator. You're our hero. You're our savior. You're our friend. You're our mentor. You're our role model. And we just say yes to living for you, Jesus, just every one of us. We just, everyone who's standing, we say yes. Yes. We just ask for fresh grace, fresh spirit, fresh courage, fresh strength to go again for some of us, to pick ourselves up, to dust ourselves off and to say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, I say yes to you. Help us to follow you. Forgive us for when we just mess up and we miss the mark and when we just... We damage ourselves, or we're just absolute plonkers. Just forgive us for those times, and just help us to live for you. Help us to follow you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.